Nick Tamaro back with you for another In the Money Players podcast. This is a Lone Star Sunday edition. I'm going to be bringing you the Sunday Lone Star podcast. So, of course, if Monday through Saturday don't go well for you, know that you have something to look forward to on Sunday. That is my Lone Star Players podcast, which we can't thank Lone Star Park and the folks at Lone Star enough for their support and their advertising with us. We're very lucky to have them. And I'm looking forward to having some weekly conversations about Lone Star. One guy that I know, the first arm out of the bullpen for me when it comes to somebody that I know wants to talk about pick fives, low takeout wagers, doesn't matter what track they're at, is my friend Blake Jesse. Blake, what's going on?
I'm guilty for that. There's no doubt about that.
People can say a lot of things about you. One thing they cannot say is that you frequently pass up an opportunity to play a low takeout pick five with or without a carryover. And why not the Players pick five at Lone Star?
Absolutely. There's not a lot of meat on the bone for this sequence, but I still think there's some spots where you can, duck the favorite and, create some value in your ticket.
That's going to be our plan. We'll do a lot like we did last week with the Oaks and Derby early pick fives and go through the sequence and then give you our main horses and the backups that we have in the sequence. So let's not waste any time and get right to it. The first leg of the late Players pick five, that of course is with a 12% takeout at Lone Star Park, is at 4:55 Central Time. It's race number six, Texas Bred, 20,000 down to 15 three life claimers going six furlongs. Looks as if the duo from the barn of Brett Calhoun will vie for favoritism with Lullaby Bling. What were your thoughts in here, Blake?
A race like this, obviously it's down to three players, the two, three, and four. What I take away is the two Stone Cafe for Billy Brett. He's going to be making this first start, going against Olders. So, looking at the three and the four, they're both, one's a four-year-old, one's a five-year-old. So they've, been facing a little tougher stock, you would suspect. So I'm going to go with 3-4, and I'm going to lean solely on those two to try to get started. I'm going to try to beat Stone Cafe. I think, this race lacks speed, and if he's a suitor, can, get out, cross over, I think going to be kind of tough to beat. Lullaby Bling's not a ultra win type, but the races at Oaklawn are just class wise are much tougher than what he's going to be facing here in Texas. So I'm going to go with Lullaby Bling, and he's a suitor, Lone A's.
Yeah, it felt to me as if the winner was likely to come from that trio. You also mentioned Stone Cafe. The only other horse I guess that I could talk about, albeit briefly, is number five, Moro Appeal, who really the appeal that this horse has is what you sort of alluded to with regards to the pace scenario. There's very little pace in here on paper. This is a horse going back to early in 2020 when in the care of Austin Gustafson was really a very solid Texas bred and even earned a start in the Groovy at Lone Star last summer. Things are obviously not going the same way right now, but Mindy Willis is an underrated conditioner, and though her record doesn't look particularly impressive, it belies her ability, which is very, very solid. So I agree. I was going to use the 3 and 4 as A's. I'll use the 2 and 5 as backups and be a little bit protected in case somehow Moro Appeal is able to cross over and get the lead in this race. That takes us to the second leg, $7,500 claimers at six furlongs. The entry from Frank Lucarelli's barn. Nice to see Lucarelli sticking around Texas. He made his Texas debut, so to speak, back in January of this year at Sam Houston and kept a string. He claimed a bunch of Texas breds at Sam Houston, so it was a good sign that he planned to stay around for a while. I didn't think he was going to take him back to Seattle or Northern California. Of course, the talk of this race, though, is number four, Karate Hottie, who's first off acclaimed by Carl Broberg, took this Daughter of Bold Warrior for $7,500 back on April 30th, now back in about 9 days, first off the claim. So the interesting thing about this, and you can give us a little bit of horseman's perspective too, being an active owner. Broberg's basically running this horse on Steve Rubion's training, right?
Absolutely. He's probably looking down and seeing I've got a fit horse. That's one way of looking at it. You could take a negative angle and say, wait a minute, he's got a horse here that he's got starter 75 eligible for the next, 18 months. Why would he be wanting to lose it so quick on 9 days rest, But, you can go a couple different directions in here. And you alluded to Frank Lucarelli in here. And his owners, Chad and Josh, you got to stand up and commend those guys, because they have thrown in some serious money since the start of the Sam Houston meet. And, you know, they've made themselves a presence. They've, you know, shaken up the apple cart for sure. So just wanted to kind of give the props to those guys. But, you know, I actually am going to try to beat Karate Hottie in here, just because there's enough for me that, you know, says she might be, you know, have seen her better days, and they were dropping her to get the win last time, you know, to get rid of her. So, and Carl doesn't choose to protect. So I'm going to go with the 1, 2, and 3 as lone A's in here. But the other part that, you know, even causes me to want to try to beat Karate Hottie even more is, you know, Deodoro picks up the 2 Arabruni in here, and this horse has got some serious early speed. So I just feel like could be looking at a situation where the 2's going down the highway, giving the 4 a lot of, you know, trouble. And if the 2's not able to, you know, sustain and go wire to wire, you know, sets up for, you know, the entry or perhaps the other Broberg that looks to be, you know, much longer of the 2.
Yeah, 13 claims in Texas so far for Lucarelli, almost all of those for Chad and Josh. So definitely nice to have them in the fold in Texas. And Mucho Mas actually ran really well 2 back. It was against weaker 3 life claimers, but there was no pace to speak of in that race, and she came over the top and got the job done. Arabuni was a reclaim by Deodoro. I thought that was a great sign, and this is a horse that was, I guess, probably considered to be a possibility as far as getting whisked away to Northwest Canada, likely one that we could have potentially seen at Assiniboia for Jerry Gourneau, but back in Amanda Barton's care after the claim and was taken for 4,000, moved right up to 7,500. I understand that the probably the thought process behind Karate Hottie, you know, Broberg brings her back quickly. Obviously, these are not $7,500 claimers from 3 years ago in Texas. And I mean, if this horse wins and gets claimed, he turned the 7,500 into about 17 grand. So it's, you know, for a guy like Broberg that operates his barn in a really fluid type of way, it makes sense. But I agree, there are some optics there that are a little bit less than stellar, and she's not going to get the really soft trip that she got a week ago, which also came over a wet track. Not that she's a particularly, you know, a wet track kind of horse, but this is a horse that came to hand really quickly for Steve Roubion. And Broberg, of course, did reclaim her in that spot. So without dancing around it much more, Broberg also has number 3 Big Tiny in the field for Endzone Athletics, which, of course, we know is he has an interest in. And I thought that the winner would really come from that grouping of 3, the entry, Arabuni, and Karate Hottie. So I'm going to use the 3 of them equally. I sort of agree with you. I'll use Maria Chuchena as a backup, who has races that could win this. And I don't think there's much difference between 7,500 and 1,000 and the 1,000. It's been that kind of week. And 10,000 at Sam Houston, and the same levels at Lone Star. So moving on to the 8th race, we stay on the main track a mile once around the Lone Star Oval. And really interesting group here. I thought you had a few horses that are in better recent form, ones that are looking to get back to maybe good prior form. And then you have the one and only Marcus Vitali, who was somehow given a license to train horses again. And he has Patriot Drive at Lone Star Park. So we will hope for the best for Patriot Drive. And boy, you know, you never can underestimate racing, right, my man, with a guy like Vitali able to come back.
You know, he's the part of the game that gives us a black eye, really. So it's surprising that he's able to get licensed in 2 states now, Arizona and now Texas. So, yeah, it's a little disappointing, but like you said, let's hope the best for Patriot Drive.
No question about it. So what did you think here? I my main thought in this race was that we've got a little bit of a pace situation, and not so much that there's a complete lack of it, but that Good Scout is potentially a complete runaway in here, right?
Well, yeah, since he's been claimed, they've definitely changed tactics with him. But if you notice down here when he broke his maiden at Oaklawn, you know, he raced much different that day, you know, going 2 turns. So it's hard to tell. I mean, he does have the ability to rate. So whereas I don't think Mr. Production going around 2 turns is going to have the ability to, you know, do too much rating. So For me, I felt like the good scout was a use no matter what, and Mr. Production was a play against. So Jungle Runner in here, you know, I feel like if he's coming back to his better races now, you know, and even comes close to replicating, you know, that last race, he's going to take some beating in here. So I'll use the three as a, and I'm going to go 1, 2, and 5 as Bs.
Interesting. Yeah, I thought Jungle Runner was very interesting myself. And, you know, the jockey moves that Steve Asmussen makes, or Asmussen, as I guess he told everybody last week his name is pronounced. Stuart Elliott obviously gets on the blue chips, and Rudy Guerra, Raylo Gutierrez, a couple of other guys end up kind of interchangeably getting on the backups. And Jungle Runner ran, you know, at least in terms of buyer speed figures, a vastly improved race last time. And this is a horse that hinted at having graded stake type ability. He got thrown into the fire on a number of occasions. I mean, hell, the horse was only 29-1 in the Belmont last year, and that was a 10 horse field. So I thought his last race was very, very good. I thought there were a lot of positive signs. The increased early speed was a very good sign, as was the fact that I thought he ran against a good bunch that day. Of course, Pit Boss from Matt Shire's barn was a good second in that field, and this looks like a reasonable spot for him. I just wondered if Good Scout was going to be able to get the distance. I know he's a mile and a 16th winner. That feels like it was in a little bit of a different life, but you know, you can't say enough about J.R. Caldwell and the job that he's done over the last 6 months in Texas. He was 26% at Sam Houston. He was clearly the one of the leaders in the training ranks, and that made obviously propelled him into a very strong start at Lone Star as well. So I thought the two Asmussens, Fast Break and Cash, were the other options. I'm going to be a little bit wider than I probably should be in here, looking to just get through it. And that takes us to the 9th race. This is really going to serve as a prep for the Texas Derby that's going to take place on Memorial Day. That, of course, is a race that is new, but you know, back in the day, there was a Lone Star Derby. In fact, I remember anecdotally watching Wiseman's Ferry win the Lone Star Derby when my dad and I had gone up to look at the University of Dallas, which I had been accepted to, on Mother's Day weekend in 2002. So it's a race that existed for a long time. Dynevor won it in 2003 en route to trying the Belmont. There were some good runnings of it, and so we'll see if the Texas Derby can pick up there, at least maybe capitalize on a few horsemen who haven't realized what their horses want to do by that point. And there are a few in here that are on their way, I think, to finding that out. Right and Just is the horse to beat on paper. I'm very interested in Drive Happy getting back to the dirt. This is a horse that improved quite a bit once he got into Asmussen's care. Tough race, huh, Blake?
It is, but, you know, it's for me, listen, we have a serious issue in this race because Right and Just has clearly run his best races on the lead, and he's passed exactly zero horses going around two turns. So a horse like Silence D'Oro, who's been running nothing but, you know, three quarters his entire career and, you know, going fast, you know, setting, you know, 21-4 early quarters. So he's going to have a hard time, you know, running his style of, preferred running style. Even a horse like My Boy Gus for Broberg in here looks like he's faster earlier than Right and Just. So Right and Just may be taking dirt early, and in a situation like that, you know, he may not, you know, come with his best stuff. And I really just feel like that's going to give, the nod to Drive Happy. A lot of, signals pointing to him. So I'm going to use Drive Happy as an A, and I'm going to try to beat Right and Just. And on some wide tickets, I'll be using the 2, 3, and 9, or excuse me, the 2, 3, and 8 on some wide tickets. So mainly all tickets with the 5, but I will use the 2, 3, and 8 on one or so tickets.
Yeah, I got a little worried when I saw Drive Happy in the Bayou City, and I wondered if maybe I thought a little bit more of him than Asmussen did, running him on the turf. There's a little bit of turf pedigree in Run Happy's second family, but this is a horse who clearly got better with Asmussen, took to the extra distance without a problem. I almost wondered if he might have surfaced in the stake race at Oaklawn at the end of the meet that offers a guaranteed berth to the Preakness, but Asmussen's been a little bit more conservative with him. Maybe he thinks he's a horse that ultimately could use a little bit of extra time. I mean, it sure feels like he's going to get a terrific setup in here. I think he can rate just off of it without much of a problem. And I feel like Silence Doro, Wright and Just, and My Boy Gus are all basically going to guarantee that the tempo is pretty strong. And I think that'll work and drive Happy's favor as well. So the other horse that I wanted to mention that you talked about a bit was Texas Bad Boy. And Texas Bad Boy for Kevin Scholl's barn. Kevin Scholl is a very underrated trainer. This is a horse with a limited stock, small barn, but boy, they're always ready to run. And his debut was very good. He got a big pace to run at, but he capitalized on it, ran well, looks to be improving with each passing start, and figures to be a pretty serious late threat as well. He'll be in line to benefit if there's a little bit of pace in front of him. So I'm looking for Texas Bad Boy to run well additionally in that really interesting ninth race. That takes us to the nightcap, which is on the turf at 7.5 furlongs. You've got majority of the field has been on the turf before. The one of the two horses that have not tried it is the 9 What's News, who's by Bernardini, one of the best racehorses to be an absolute complete disaster of a turf stallion. And at Bickerson's on the dam side, this is a horse that was trained by Kelly Breen. It's actually pretty accomplished, mainly all on the dirt. There was no turf to speak of. Bickerson's one was in the money in two stakes races at 2, including the Oak Leaf and Spinaway, won the Moccasin, and then won the Forward Gal as a 3-year-old. Didn't really go on after that, but certainly had some ability. She has dropped one turf winner. This is a Cortland Farm horse that you might have expected them to give to Shug McGahey now that they split their stock between Shug McGahey and Asmussen, but she ends up here and in a race that looks pretty tough from top to bottom. What did you think, Blake?
You know, I really did think this was a, you know, pretty evenly matched race to close things out. I feel like, you know, the majority of the money is going to go to Flowers for KK in here, just, you know, off her numbers and high percentage trainer Todd Fincher. I'm going to use 3, 5, 9, and 10 equally in here. You know, Xylophone, you know, 8-1 on the morning line. I just really feel like this horse figured things out about, you know, 3 furlongs too late in its last, you know, in its first start. So Xylophone's going to be on every ticket, but 3, 5, 9, 10 are my A's, and that's how we're going to try to get paid.
Yeah, I felt like the winner would come from that group. I thought Flowers for KK looked interesting and is in many ways the horse to beat. As you said, Fincher, high percentage trainer. This one ran well, moving to Lone Star and stretching out, handled the extra distance without a problem. Fincher Progeny, I would imagine, are going to get better with time. They aren't off to a particularly good start, but again, time is on their side. Jedediah, I thought, ran in spots last time. I almost hoped that, or maybe they will kind of adjust the blinker a little bit. This is a horse that's middle moved in 2 straight starts. Maybe Rye Eichelberry just needs to be a little bit more patient on this Daughter of Congrats, because things have not gone ideally in either of those last two, but I agree with the sentiment completely. So let's go ahead and run through your A's and B's in the sequence, Blake. In that first leg, I know we talked about 3 and 4 as A's, and you're going to back up with the 2.
No, I'm 3-4. That's where I'm standing, 3 and 4.
3-4 to the hoop. Then in the 7th race, you were looking at 1-2-3 in an effort to try and beat Karate Hottie?
That's correct.
Going to use Karate Hottie as a backup?
No, I'll just go. I'm narrow later on, so this thing could pay a lot of money, and if we get knocked out, we're not going to be losing the bank.
Right. Absolutely. 8th race, that tough, wide open 1 mile event. You were going to Lone A Jungle Runner?
That's correct. And then 1-2-5 is backups.
1-2-5 is backups. Then looking at the 9th race, we discussed this. You had 4 A's. Can you just run through those numbers again?
Yep. I have Drive Happy as an A and 2-3-8 as B's.
Okay. All right. 4 total. And then in the nightcap, we had the 3, 5, 9, 10, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And no backups?
No backups.
All right. So just $12 for a base 50-cent wager on those all A's. I think you can probably punch that a few times. We will compile those notes and put them in a little spreadsheet format with mine and make sure those get out to everybody. So, Blake, can't thank you enough for coming on board. I know you'll certainly be back along the way. This Lone Star Park meet, of course, goes through July. Big opportunity for contest players on Memorial Day, May 31st. $2,500 all bankroll live money buy-in tournament at Lone Star, accommodations in the Ali Sheba room on the second floor. If you ever watch TVG old replays, really they were on HRTV more, but if you watched old replays of the 2004 Breeders' Cup, which was at Lone Star, the guys from Little Red Feather were standing on the veranda of the Ali Sheba room when they were celebrating Singletary. So it was a building that was built specifically for the Breeders' Cup. It's just to the right of the grandstand if you're sitting at Lone Star, which, you know, if you're listening out there, in all likelihood, you've been to Lone Star. I can't recommend going to Lone Star enough. It is an absolute jewel in American racing that the people aren't quite so familiar with. And as much as it pains me being 250 miles to the south and admitting this, Dallas sports fans are very supportive and have always been very, very gracious with Lone Star and have really frequented it quite nicely. So we appreciate our good friends at Lone Star and wish them the best of luck for the rest of the meet. I'll be back with you next Sunday to walk through that pick five. I will hopefully have some voice left after calling the races at Sam Houston Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. There's plenty of Ricola in this drawer too, so don't worry too much. Thanks to my guest, Blake Jesse. You'll be hearing from him again soon, and best of luck. Talk to you soon.